Give Us More. I'm Neve.
I'm Megan.
And you are joining us for part two, where Megan left me on a cliffhanger, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since.
Yeah, it's been like almost a full week since.
Almost a full week, yeah. And you were like, we'll record during the week, won't leave it that long, won't do that to you. And I'm like, I need to know what happened.
So where we left off was, so just a quick introduction. This is part two of the lipstick killer, William Aarons. So we're talking about how as a 17-year-old, William has been arrested and he is a suspect in three murders. One of 6-year-old Suzanne Degnan, one of Josephine Ross, and then one of Francis Brown. And also an assault. Where we left it off, I think...
I was a bit suspicious on whether or not he killed the 6-year-old because the information... If you haven't already checked out part one, highly recommend you check out part one because you're only going to kind of catch the end of the case. You're going to be like, what the fuck's going on?
Yes, exactly. And I'm not going to be going back over really what happened in part one.
We're just kind of going to jump straight on into the continuation of it. So,
yeah, exactly. This is going to be kind of shorter, probably, maybe. Who knows?
But we always say that, and then like it's like an hour and a half later, we're like, "Oh, lol, we should stop recording."
Yeah. Okay. Right. So please go listen to part one because part two, we're just going for it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to launch right into the list of other suspects
before we go.
Okay. So, the list of potential suspects at the time. So, the first person to be arrested for Suzanne Degnan's murder was 65-year-old Bulgarian immigrant Viktor Verber.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that's how you say the second name, V-E-R-B-U-R-G-H, Verberg.
Verberg.
Verber. Anyway, he was a janitor in the building that police believed Suzanne had been killed in. So, they believed that Suzanne had been taken from her room and then... brought to another building to like the basement laundry area and killed and dismembered there because, well, her blood was there.
Okay.
There was some wire that was left there as well that police believed had been used to strangle Suzanne too, to like make a garrote. So they were putting like two and two together. The ransom note that had been left for Suzanne was dirty, quote, dirty. So police were like, what? The only person who has dirty hands is a janitor in this very building. Oh my gosh, what? So,
am I surprised? No.
No.
No, I'm not.
Am I still disappointed?
Yes.
Yes. Chicago PD, what are you doing?
Like, that's like literally being like 2 + 2 = 20. No. Oh, the only person in the world to have dirty hands ever is a janitor.
After climbing up a ladder to get to the bedroom in the first place, you're going to have dirty ass hands anyway. If you're writing the ransom note while you're in there, which as we covered in the JonBenet story, is unlikely.
Very unlikely. Like, literally the police never see it.
Yeah. So, anyway, they arrested Viktor. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was a bit weird, people said, but he didn't actually have great English. So he could barely speak English, so obviously people always look at people that don't speak their language as, like, weird or whatever. Like, okay, well, maybe look at yourselves. But anyway.
They're like, he's weird. I can't understand him.
Go learn a second language and see how you feel then, bitch.
Like, maybe, just maybe, just throwing it out there, maybe he's not weird, you just don't understand him.
Let's
take a moment to think about that, everybody. Continue, Megan.
That was good. Yeah, poor Viktor. So they arrested him. They held him for 48 hours, where they basically tortured him to try and get a confession from him. They didn't allow him to eat or drink, see a lawyer, his wife, who was also being questioned. Yeah. So he only managed to get released from the from custody because the janitor's union that he was luckily a part of was able to get him out. And he ended up spending 10 days in hospital. 10 days in hospital with an injured shoulder among other injuries.
Chicago PD. What are you doing? First of all, it's illegal to not let the man have a lawyer. Second of all, feed and hydrate the man. And third of all, violence. Violence is never an answer. All you're going to do there is scare him into confessing to a crime that he didn't commit just so that you stop beating him.
But this is how they worked. They did the whole dirty cop thing. There was no good cop. It was just dirty cops. And here's a quote from himself when he got out of hospital. He said, quote, "Oh, they hanged me up. They blindfolded me. I can't put up my arms. They are so sore. They had handcuffs on me for hours and hours. They threw me in the cell and blindfolded me. They handcuffed my hands behind my back and pulled me up on bars until my toes touched the ground. I no eat. I go to the hospital. Oh, I am so sick. Any more and I would have confessed to anything."
Yeah, like, that's not a way to get a confession because all it's going to do is coerce the confession.
Yeah, making a murderer style.
Literally being like, "We go and stab you if you don't tell us you killed this lady." And it's like, okay, then I killed her. Don't stab me.
Yeah, exactly. But then Victor and his wife, they won, basically, because they sued Chicago PD. And good. Victor got somewhere between 15 to 20,000 and his wife got 5,000, which at that time, we're talking the 40s. A lot of money.
Good. They deserved it, especially Victor.
Yeah, for sure. Go Victor.
Not gonna lie though, I low-key lolled when you were like, "I know eat."
I know, but that's his English. And this also comes into an account later on, which is like, So, another thing was that in the place where Suzanne's blood had been found, that basement, there was a handkerchief with the initials on it that said S. Sherman. So, they were like, okay.
S. Sherman guy. Yeah.
So, police looked all over Chicago for an S. Sherman, and they found a Marine named Sidney Sherman that had left Chicago in a rush. So, he left his apartment and his job without even picking up his last paycheck. Just disappeared. Just gone. Bye. Good luck. They eventually managed to find him in Ohio because he ran off to get married to his girlfriend. Now, I don't know how many people would leave their last paycheck to get married, but, like, I guess if you're in a rush, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, they brought him back to Chicago for questioning and a lie detector test, which he passed, so he was cleared. Allowed to go back home.
Okay.
They did find another Sidney Sherman that did actually own the handkerchief, but he was out of the country at the time of the murder, and he couldn't actually explain why his handkerchief had been found at the scene. But again, lie detector test cleared of any wrongdoing.
Okay. Bye. You're innocent.
Then we had these two little fucking teenagers, these assholes, scum of the earth. I don't care how young you are, what they done here is vile and disgusting.
Okay. They're disturbed.
So, Theodore Campbell and Vincent Costello were known troublemakers and petty criminals and just the usual teenage assholes that you come across anyway. They heard what had actually happened with Suzanne on the day that it happened. So, they decided to go ahead and make the weird ransom calls to the Degnan family. Remember in part one I was saying that there are ransom calls?
But nobody would talk, they'd just hang up.
Exactly, yep.
That is disgusting.
They decided, let's get rich quick. Let's get the ransom money.
Let's cash in on this ransom money. You know, oh holy shit, a six-year-old has been murdered.
Nope. They bragged about it to their friends, and one of the friends who had a conscience. But see, they had told the friends, like, so I think it was Theodore believed Vincent had actually taken and killed Suzanne.
Oh.
So I think that's what was going on. But Theodore was like, okay, well, I'll join in on the fun kind of thing. Get the ransom.
Get some money out of it.
I'm not 100% sure, but they were up to no fucking good anyway. So the friend went in and obviously told police and was like, there's something iffy going on here.
Yeah.
So the police went and arrested one of them, who quickly then squealed on the other.
He had a mom on me. It was all him.
Exactly. But they admitted that they knew the details of the crime because they had overheard police officers talking about it, and that's when they decided to make it their business to get in the Degnan's business.
Get your fucking shit together.
How soulless do you have to be to do something like that?
Yeah, like, how soulless do you have to be to even think? Like,
yeah.
When you hear a story like that, I immediately go, oh my God, the poor family.
Yeah. Like, your heart absolutely breaks for them.
Yeah. And then there's this, these two sickos out here being like, oh, do you know who he is? Edgelord.
But the two boys were also given lie detector tests, which cleared them. Let's take a look at how much faith they're putting in lie detector tests here. You know, they're really putting a lot of faith into that. So,
I mean, they're not even allowed to use lie detector tests in court because you can easily pass them.
You can manipulate them for sure.
Mm.
Then we have the fucking soggy piece of bread that is Richard Russell Thomas.
Soggy bread.
He was a nurse that was living in Phoenix, and he freely admitted to Suzanne Degnan's murder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like, I did it. Come down here. Question me. Come down to Phoenix. Talk to me. I did it.
Okay.
So he made the admission while he was in prison awaiting trial for molesting his own daughter.
I hope someone stabbed him multiple times.
Fucking piece of shit. So off they went. They sent some people down to Arizona to question him. Those detectives then called the chief detective and told him that this guy didn't know what he was talking about. They immediately had Russell like, no, he didn't do it. He's just talking shit. Richard then apparently told police that he just didn't want to go to prison in Arizona, and that if he confessed to a murder in Chicago, he'd be brought back to Chicago and maybe go to prison there instead. So, now, police did note that there were similarities in Richard's handwriting to the ransom note. And that some of the phrases were like some of what Richard had used in previous extortion notes, because he's such a great guy. He'd extorted people before. Just a real fucking gem, you know?
Yeah.
Addition to society.
Just making life better for everybody.
Yep. So he fit the profile, but the day that William was arrested, police flew back to Chicago and left Richard, and he ended up recanting his confession. There's also a short newspaper article that's like literally a couple lines long that literally just says that Richard said he'd think over the Chicago police's suggestion that he wasn't involved in the murder. So they were basically like, ah, recant. Like, you didn't do it. Keep in mind, he's a fucking nurse. Like, he could have some sort of surgical skill.
Yeah, he could. He'd have some sort of, like, knowledge on how that shit works.
Yeah, not to, like, he's not a surgeon, but, you know, he'd know what goes where. So, now we're back to William Ahrens. He's our last suspect. Reminder that he's only 17 at this point. He's just been arrested after being caught trying to burgle an apartment and a short standoff with some police officers where they, you know, fucking knocked him out with flower pots.
I'm not going to, like, he was a bit of an asshole, okay? He did weird shit. He shit on floors like a creep. But at the same time, he's only 17.
Yep. And no surgical knowledge at all.
At all. So, like, and I just feel like the police were so rough with him.
Oh, wait till you hear.
Okay.
You think Victor got it bad?
No.
So, reminder that he was not allowed to see his parents, William, again, like, He's only 17. He's not allowed to see his parents. He's not allowed to see a lawyer. Nobody is allowed in. He's been held in questioning for 6 days. At this point, he's in a police hospital cuffed to a bed. Cuffed to the fucking bed. And police are now saying, oh, well, we suspect him of the murders because of the fight that he put up while resisting arrest. Okay, maybe he pulled out a gun, right? Okay, we're not saying he's a fucking angel.
No.
But
you can't just be like, he assisted arrest, so therefore he's a killer. Like, that's a big jump.
If we keep in mind that he's been to two boarding schools already, and he just thinks that he's gotten the best luck out of his life with getting into college, if he thinks he's going to get arrested again, he's going to do what he can to get the fuck out of that situation.
And on top of that, 17-year-olds don't have the, like, you know, common sense to be like, maybe I shouldn't pull a gun on a police officer. You're 17. You
panic.
You panic. You see these police officers coming at you, fucking three of them. Panic does set in, and I'm not excusing the shit that he has done, and it was stupid of him to pull a gun, but...
Yeah. Like, he admitted, and he admits in later life, I brought a gun with me to burglaries, I brought a crowbar with me. Oftentimes it was to scare off people, or it was actually trying to gain entry into places.
Yeah.
You know, he admits to not being a fucking angel, so I think if I had a gun and I was being backed into a corner, which he was, I don't know.
Especially if there was three of them ganging up on you.
Yeah, because it was a chase. It wasn't like they just found him and cornered him. It was a chase.
Yeah, so like his adrenaline is pumping overdrive. He's in a panic. I'm trying to picture what was going through his mind. I personally don't think he committed these murders, but...
Me neither.
We'll see.
But wait.
There's more.
There's more. So, 6 days. He was beaten regularly by police trying to get a confession out of him. He was starved and not given anything to drink. I'd say he was just given, you know, the minimal water, like fucking splash it on your face or something just to keep you alive.
Keep him hydrated and alive. Well, not hydrated, but yeah.
Alive. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, he was not allowed a lawyer or to see his parents for 4 days out of these six. During this time, the police would try to keep him awake, working in shifts to exhaust him, so they'd literally be a fucking rota of police coming in and out of the ward to like keep him awake or the room. They got a male nurse to pour ether on his genitals.
Oh my god.
Yep.
What the fuck's wrong with them?
Fucking bad cops. And when that didn't work, a policeman punched him in the stomach repeatedly, repeating what had happened to Suzanne Degnan in the hopes that he would say, I did it.
Again. That's not a proper confession, right? And I'm standing by what I'm... But even if that person, right, say they had the right person,
mm-hmm.
It's still not a proper confession because all you're doing is scaring them. It's hard to tell if you just scared them into confessing or if they actually did it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Next thing that they done, they, without William's consent or William's parents' consent, they injected William with something called sodium pentothal on the fourth day, which is known as a, quote, truth serum. So sodium pentothal basically works by making it harder for you to lie by affecting your brain somehow. I don't know, I'm not a fucking scientist. Mm-hmm. But, like, it dampens some parts in your brain that makes it really hard to be creative and come up with a lie.
Okay.
To say no, yeah. You know. So it doesn't force you to tell the truth, but...
But it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's what they gave him. And at this point, they tried to interview him. Now, in this interview, the police said that William told them that a man named George Merman had done the murders. Now, William's middle name was George, so they put two and two together to say that William had a split personality.
Okay.
And then it turned into somehow George Murderman instead of George Merman. So we need to keep in mind, he's hungry, dehydrated, has had shit poured on his fucking genitals, has been injected with some random shit.
Has been punched in the stomach, has been God knows what else. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no record of what was said in this interview. Nothing was recorded, nothing was written down.
Like, he's clearly going to be delusional by this stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. If I was in that situation, would I try to come up with somebody else's name too? To
just kinda get them off my back so that they'd leave me alone for a few hours, that I could even sleep?
Yeah. Now, on the fifth day, William was given a spinal tap.
Oh my God.
They gave him a fucking spinal tap with no anesthetic, no pain relief, nothing.
Oh my God.
17 years old. He told Dolores Kennedy, who wrote a book about him, quote, "I screamed for the first time and I kept on screaming." Remember, he has a very high pain threshold. Pain didn't really bother him. That was the first time he screamed.
That is horrific.
I just, no, that blows my mind that any practicing nurse or doctor stood by and thought, you know what? This is a good idea. Fucking scumbags. Scumbags. And if you really thought that this was a murderer, at the end of the day, you are torturing somebody.
I honestly agree. And even if he was the murderer, that's not your job. Your job is not to torture him. Your job is to get the truth out of him in a respectable manner and then let the prosecution and the judges deal with him. It's not up to you as a police officer to decide what punishment he should get.
Exactly. Fuck me, like. And then what would you think that a person may have to do after, you know, something like a spinal tap? What would you think that they might have to do for a few hours?
Bed rest.
You know, maybe lie in the one position. Yeah. Don't move around. Don't get up. Don't walk. They tell you that after a minor surgery.
I had Anna and I wasn't allowed out of the bed, like, literally for, like, 2 hours at least.
Yeah, and you didn't even get the...
No, I didn't even get an epidural. Like, they literally were like, only get out of the bed if you have to go to the toilet.
So, what did they do? In their all-seeing wisdom, you know, these amazing police officers, they decided to take William down to the police station right away, after the spinal tap, and give him... Can you, like, there's a photo of William at this time, and his, like, he literally looks drunk, like, he just looks so out of it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see that photo was, like, posted and it was plastered all over the newspapers. Nobody thought, hey, you know what? There's something a little fishy going on here. But then at the same time, everybody thought that he was this fucking violent murderer.
I was just going to say, they probably just would assume, like, oh, he's probably on drugs and he's probably this and he's probably that. I get that it was the 40s and it was a different era, but, like, it's just disgusting.
Disgusting. And so at this point, they gave William a lie detector test. What?
Wow.
A lie detector test that everybody else managed to clear. Now, William couldn't fucking clear it because guess what? He kept passing out from the pain.
Shocker.
He literally was passing out between questions from how much pain he was in.
And like, even then, like, in between the passing out, when he'd come to, he'd probably just say anything.
Sure, even when you're asleep, if somebody asks you something, you're like,
what? Yeah, okay, whatever. And then, like, you roll over. So, like, you're in agony. You're delusional from hunger, dehydration, all the other shit that they've put you through. And now you have the excruciating pain of a spinal tap. And you're passing out. And they're like, hey, did you kill this one?
Yep. So, Bill still didn't give in. He still, like, he says in later interviews, like, I just refused to say anything. I didn't say yes. I didn't say no. I just did not want to give the police one single word that they could use against me.
Yeah.
And that is so smart for a 17-year-old. Now, look, I say smart. Obviously, in my personal opinion, William did not commit the murders.
No.
Okay? If he did, then, you know, I don't want to glorify him in any way, but that's my opinion. And obviously, you're more than welcome to have your own.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people do think he's guilty.
I just don't see how he'd have the knowledge to do what whoever did that to that little girl. I don't understand how a 17-year-old would have that skill and that knowledge.
And if we think about it as well, Josephine and Francis, when they were stabbed, their wounds had actually kind of been cleaned. Like, maybe a doctor might do that or a nurse might do that. And whoever it was tried to tape the wounds shut.
Yeah.
So,
like, I just personally feel like if he was the one that had committed these murders, he wouldn't have. I mean, he took shits on people's floor. Do you really think he'd think to clean a wound and, like, tape it shut?
Also, he could not touch a woman in a romantic aspect anyway. So why does anybody think he could touch a woman and create holes in her and touch her insides?
I just think there's too much evidence from him to say that he didn't do it.
Well,
what they put him through, like, to have the willpower to continue to just be like, I didn't do it. I mean, yeah. I feel like if you were responsible by now, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I fucking did it.
Yeah,
like,
take that fucking thing out of my back.
Yeah, like, I have a spot. I did it. Please help me out.
Yeah, for sure. Now, while William is there and he's being, like, fucking tortured, basically, police, without any warrant, you know, as they do, went through William's dorm, a locker he had, and his parents' home. They found items that had been stolen in or other burglaries and some money that had also been stolen.
Yeah.
That's when they started to compare his handwriting from his schoolwork to the ransom note. They checked his fingerprints against the partial print that was left behind at Francis Brown's apartment, which came back as a 9-point match. And nowadays, experts will only say it's a match from anywhere from between 12 to 20 points for a complete match.
Mm-hmm.
9 points. So that's something like, I think I heard somewhere that's like 60% of the population could have a 9-point match to each other.
Yeah, especially in a partial print.
It's a partial print out of blood. Like,
yeah,
it was a smudge is what it was. It's a fucking smudge.
Mm.
Still, he's indicted for assault with intent to kill, 23 counts of burglary, robbery, and 3 counts of murder on the 12th of July, 1946. This is when his lawyers are like, you're fucked. You're fucking screwed. You're going to get the death penalty. Just don't even go to court. You're going to get the death penalty. What are you talking?
So his lawyers just were no help to him, really?
Absolutely no help. No help whatsoever. Like, if we take into account the burglaries, okay, yeah, the lawyers were like, okay, you're going to get life in prison for the burglaries because they are pretty bad. Never mind taking into account the murder. But, like, burglary, it's a fairly minor charge. So I feel like you certainly would have not have gotten life in prison for burglary.
Well, it was 1946. It's a different time.
Even still, though, 1946, I think this is when they really started looking at the prison population and how out of control it was starting to get.
I mean, life in prison for burglaries is a bit extreme. His lawyers should have really been like, yeah, but what evidence do you have to say he committed the crimes?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure. They should have been.
Besides this bogus lie detector test, what evidence places him at these murders?
Remember, we have that lady, I forget her name right now, where he broke in and he helped her.
Yeah.
So we have her. And then we have the partial print. And then I think that's all that they have at that point.
But again, he was there with her sister on the outside of the door.
Mm-hmm. Then they also found the poop on the inside.
But then he pooped inside.
Well, all of a fucking sudden, the papers print a confession. So this asshole of a reporter went through all of the stories that had been printed out about the murders and drafted a confession and said it came from William Ahrens, printed it, and then all the other papers followed suit and printed it too.
I just want to state that, like, newspapers still pull this kind of shit today.
Oh, it's fucking bullshit. Fucking bullshit. But now all of Chicago is convinced that William is after confessing.
Yeah.
Even Chicago PD had to be like, whoa, watch out for that fucking misinformation, guys. Jesus.
Mm.
He knew that if he went to trial, like his lawyers told him, he'd be facing the death penalty.
Mm.
So he didn't. He took a plea deal. 17 years old, a few days shy of his 18th birthday, he took a plea deal.
That's really sad because it's a case of, like, do I fight it and chance being put to death? Or do I just take this deal and just do whatever years in prison and hope to God that someday I can get out on good behaviour?
Exactly. So that's what he did, the second thing. So the thing is as well, is that they put his cell, well, they didn't put a cell, they put him in a cell, that every time he would leave the cell to go to court or to talk to his lawyers or family, he would have to walk by the electric chair.
That's
so he would constantly be reminded. Yeah.
They picked that on purpose.
Of course they did. Now, the plea deal was that he would confess to the murders in exchange for 3 concurrent life sentences with the chance of parole after 20 years. For this, William would need to admit his guilt at a big old media conference. We love a media conference.
Of course.
Now, so the prosecutor sorted it all out. You know, the DA, he's standing up and he's telling the media how amazing it is that they now have the truth about the murders. The truth. We have the truth. We finally have the truth.
Yeah, truth.
About the murders. So, and then it came time for William to speak. And the prosecutor is like, so, you know, follow the script there and tell everybody how fucking guilty you are, you piece of shit. And William didn't. He was like, you know what? Actually, no. I didn't commit these murders. Like, he's like protesting his innocence. Newspapers going crazy. The media's all there.
Yeah, they're like, oh my fucking God.
What happened after this was the prosecutor got pissed and he was super embarrassed. So he pulled the deal. He pulled the plea deal. So William said about it, quote, it was to he himself. Now, I think it's Tuohy, is that? Because I think that's an Irish name, T-U-O-H-Y, isn't it? Like a second name.
I don't know.
Anyway, after assembling all the officials, including attorneys and policemen, he began a preamble about how everyone had waited to get a confession from me. But, at last, the truth was going to be told. He kept emphasising the word truth, and I asked him if he really wanted the truth. Now, when I was being forced to lie and save myself, it made me angry. So I told them the truth and everyone got upset. Like, what?
I just can't, like, I don't have a whole pile of words because I just feel like there's a certain point for anything when you've done something, even if it's minor. There comes a point where you've been caught. You know, and at first you're like, what? No, it wasn't me. But I feel like, you know, there does come a point where you would be like, fuck, yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
Do you know, because you realise...
Absolutely, there that, is, yeah.
Because you realise you're not getting out of this. They're not going to believe you, so you just have to... So I feel like if he was guilty, he would have confessed. I feel like he would have, like, admitted to the crimes by now if he was guilty.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Because, like you said, after there's a certain point where I think 99% of people realise that they're not going to get out of it.
Mm. And I mean, at this stage, he, like, you know, is facing the death penalty. He's facing life. He's only 17 or 18 by now, probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's literally facing the rest of his life in prison. So I feel like by now he'd... be like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Now, so with the deal being pulled, William was forced to write a confession. So when he goes on about this confession in later years, he actually just says that he himself went through newspapers and picked up different bits and bobs from different stories and put them all together. And then he got help from law enforcement because they are kind of guiding him because he'd write something and they'd be like, are you sure that you didn't do it this way instead? Yeah, he was also made to go to the victim's apartments and answer questions about what he had done while he was there and like how he'd get in and what he'd do once he was in there and how he attacked the people.
Poop on the floor.
How he shit on the floor.
Shit on the floor.
But anyway, and then he got to Suzanne's house and they put a ladder there. They made him crawl up the ladder, go inside, reenact how he wrote the ransom note somehow while he was inside, and just how he took her. And there was a bunch of people there, media, civilians, police, all standing there watching him do this. And there's photos of it too.
If he is innocent and they're making him do this in front of civilians and media, like, God knows what the people are shouting at him. And
oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's rough.
Yeah, absolutely. Which explains this. On September 4th, William officially pled guilty in front of a judge. But that night, he tried his first suicide attempt. He waited until there was a shift change because he'd been watching the guards for a few days and he knew that generally on a shift change you have a couple of minutes. So,
yeah.
As soon as the first kind of shift of guards left to do the handover, he tied the bed sheets into a noose and he actually hung for a few minutes until he was found. The next day, he was ordered to serve 3 consecutive life sentences and was immediately taken to prison. At this point, William told the sheriff, quote, "Tell Mr. Degnan to please look after his other daughter, because whoever killed Suzanne is still out there." Like, he's already been served his time. Like, he's literally been served his 3 life sentences and he's still contesting his innocence. Keep in mind, he's super fucking religious.
I feel like he would confess eventually. Like, he'd be like, yeah, it was me. He got his life sentences. He's going to jail. He's going to have a shit time. Yeah. So what is there to stop him from being like, yeah, I did it?
Exactly. If you did do it, you would just confess. Just to be like, even for going to prison and not becoming someone's fucking prison bitch, you would want to confess. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And he's just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Like, he wrote the confession based on what people told him. And then he's on his way to serve these life sentences and he's like, make sure like nothing happens to the other child because it wasn't me.
Yeah, I don't know, it's an altogether sad situation, like for the victims, for the victims' families, and then, you know, and on the other hand, they didn't get... yes, exactly, you know, if it wasn't William, there's somebody out there who has done it.
That's, I feel like the victims and their families didn't get the justice because they have this man sitting in prison, serving all these years for crimes that he didn't commit to them, to those families and those people. And that person who did do it is just roaming the streets, living their life, having a whale of a time.
Yeah.
Probably assaulting and killing more women.
Yeah. But like, remember when we did Golden State and he just literally fucked off somewhere else, but there was so little communication between police departments? That they didn't know.
And that was like, in the 60s. So can you imagine what it was like in the 20s?
Yeah, exactly. He could have literally just fucked off somewhere else. So if we remember how well William did when he was at boarding schools, it doesn't surprise us that much that he does well in prison as well. So,
okay, yeah.
As he's known as a child killer and a woman killer, like, we all know that if a child killer goes to prison, that's another inmate's first target. They want to get them. They want to fucking kill them. But he found a way to keep himself safe. So because he was super into mechanical things and taking things apart and putting them back together, he actually found that he was really good at fixing those mechanical things. And so he'd fix radios and the like for the other inmates and guards. And people actually grew to quite like him because he did. He had a fairly charming personality, people would say.
Yeah.
He even started working on an arts degree, earning his degree in 1972, which he was the first prison inmate to get a 4-year degree. Like, that's just... He was like, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get out. I'm going to be a contributing member to society. I'm going to work on my education. Let's get it. So, with this, working on his own case too, he got very familiar with the legal system. So he actually helped out others with their like cases and parole hearings and stuff like that. He really helped a lot of people while he was in prison. And fun fact, I can't remember where I found this, probably Wiki or something like that, but Richard Speck, who is a nurse killer, he actually joined L. Willie in prison after his arrest in 1968. So, little fact. And then, in 1952, William launched into his first appeal of over 30 against his conviction. So this was based on the sodium pentothal injection that he had been given.
Yeah.
If we remember that he hadn't given his permission and his parents hadn't given permission for him to be injected with that, he was claiming that that was a violation of his constitutional rights, given the fact.
Which it is.
Exactly. They actually agreed that his rights had been violated, but they also argued that he'd given up his chance to contest those violations in court by pleading guilty.
I mean,
what do you do? You're told that you're going to fucking die if you plead not guilty. Again, let's just repeat ourselves again, because some people are going to get this twisted. We do not think that he was in any way, shape or form a fucking angel. God no.
Oh,
he was a little shit.
No. Yeah, no, he was. There was crimes that he did commit, and those crimes were weird.
Yep.
But that still doesn't mean that he should have been treated the way he was treated. He was 17, he was scared, he was impressionable, and the police took advantage of him.
Yeah.
His own lawyers took advantage of him.
Yep. And he actually brought that up at one parole hearing too, and they were like, well, you know, my lawyers ain't fucking shit. So he ended up getting new lawyers, I think.
Mm.
And I actually think that they are public defenders, which I did read somewhere that public defenders generally work on cases like parking tickets, you know, money involved things, like money laundering, that kind of thing. It's rare that they would get assigned a murder case. So they are probably fucking scared. They are probably like, shit, this guy's up for 3 murders.
From what TV has taught me on public defenders, you don't want one. Like, when it comes to a bigger, more severe case, such as murders. So,
well, I'm sure that there are plenty of public defenders out there that got into it purely for the sake of helping people that are being found guilty of these heinous crimes that are not guilty.
Oh.
You know, I'm sure that there are definitely some good apples out there. But then there are other people that know that lawyer is a good job and they just want the money and they're just here for the court appearances and you do you, bro.
I mean, at the end of the day, somebody had to, like, defend O.J. Simpson and someone had to defend Richard Ramirez.
Ugh.
Like, can you imagine having to defend Richard Ramirez?
I would rather sit on a cactus and then roll around in thumbtacks.
Mm, I agreed. And then, like, someone had to defend Eileen Wuornos and, like, you know, like, at the end of the day, somebody has to do it. But I just feel like his lawyers were just like, just take the fucking deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it easy, like, for me.
Yeah. Like, please don't make me go to trial on this.
Yeah. And I guess it's sad for them, too, because I don't know how, like, old they are. But if you're, like, super inexperienced, how would you deal with that? But again, exactly. Fucking pass it on. Don't, like, I know you don't get a choice, but I'm sure that there are ways that you can pass a case on to somebody that might have more experience.
You could tell, but this is it. Like, if you're like, look, I don't have the experience to look after your case, you could tell him to fire them. Like, be like, look, fire us.
Mm.
We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Get a new set of lawyers because
this ain't it.
All we can do for you, yeah, like, all we can do for you is get you a plea deal.
Yep.
Do you know, you like, I feel like, when it comes to, and again, he committed crimes. Yes, that he was going to prison for those no matter what. But he was 17.
But even then, get this actually. I forgot about this. So, one person, the night that Josephine was killed, a man said that he had seen somebody around the neighborhood again.
Hmm.
Remember in part one, I said that there was an eyewitness. That said,
seen a man that he looked about 40-odd.
Yeah.
Heavy enough, like, heavy set-ish.
Mm-hmm. When kind of this person was put up on the stand, so at one point they kind of did do something in the court. I don't know exactly what it was. Mm. I know it wasn't trial, but I think it was like eyewitness testimony, that kind of thing. I guess maybe before sentencing or that kind of thing. I'm not sure. But he was like, oh yeah, for sure. I see somebody that was like, you know, around William's age, around his weight, height, yeah. And then he came out, like, later after that and was like, shouldn't have said that. You know, he was like, oh shit, sorry. Like, he was paid, certainly. Definitely had to have been paid to say that. Yeah, it definitely was William.
Yeah, they probably had something on him or some shit. And we're like, we won't charge you if you say that it was William.
Exactly. Now, over the years, during the different appeals for his release, Josephine Ross's daughter, so the first victim's daughter, actually stated that she believed that William was innocent. She stated, quote, I cannot believe that young Aaron's murdered my mother. He just does not fit into the picture of my mother's death. I have looked at all of the things Aaron stole, and there is nothing of my mother's things among them.
I mean, I do feel like, because obviously that's what he started off doing. He started off robbing.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he had committed these murders, he would have robbed something from the houses.
Yeah, he would have. Like, that would have been his little trophy. That was kind of his thing.
Yeah, because that was his thing. So, I mean, why wouldn't he then have stole something? Why would he completely stop robbing?
Mm-hmm. And then also, on top of that little gem, in regards to the handwriting comparison, Herbert Walter, who was part of the Chicago PD, he stated that there were many similarities between the ransom note and Williams's handwriting. And he was like, yeah, you know, there's a lot that's the same, blah blah. And that was entered into the official record. But then George Schwartz, an independent handwriting expert that was hired to review years later, thought differently, but it was ignored and never entered into official record. And then, in 1996, FBI handwriting expert David Grimes said that he believed William had not written the ransom note or the lipstick note. But again, this gets ignored.
Like, oh no, we tortured a 17-year-old. Oopsies.
Whoopsies. So, at one point in 1983, a judge, Judge Gerald Cohn, actually ordered William's release. He was so close to getting out. They were overturning his conviction. He was like, okay, you're out. Goodbye. Immediately, he was supposed to be gone. But the decision was overturned by the 7th District Court. So he stayed right where he was. That's it. So just a few points there on some interviews that he'd done later on. So a point was that William did admit that he found women and girls repulsive. And that, like I said, multiple times that he had touched a few boobs, grabbed a few legs, but he'd always end up shaking and crying because he just, like, literally thought that he was going to get pregnant and die, or get an STD and die. Like, it was bad. Now, he did admit to some underwear fetish. I think when he was, like, in therapy, when he was a kid, he was like, I like to wear underwear, and I've had a dream where it's just a line of underwear and it's super hot. And he's like, that was my last wet dream, was literally just about women's underwear. Like, not anybody wearing them, but just about the underwear.
Just, yeah.
It's like, you do you, okay? But, you know, don't steal people's underwear. That's just fucking gross and creepy, William. Don't
creepy.
Do it.
Yeah, very creepy.
So, he also talked about sexual gratification. He talks about how the idea of entering through windows is what excited him and not the act of burglary itself. He would enter through the window and have an orgasm in his pants and then have multiple other ones as he walked through the apartments. He also mentioned that he often had bowel movements as part of this, and one doctor suggested that maybe this was something to do with a nerve in his spine. So, there you are. That's a thing, I guess. You know. But, William. Watching interviews with William is like watching your dad get interviewed. Like, he's sitting there, and you know the way dads have, like, thick forearms? He's sitting there with, like, arms across his beer belly, and uses his watch on, which, like, every dad wears a watch, I feel like. Is that just me?
Yes.
Is it, you know?
No, it's not.
And he's sitting there, and he's just like that, and he's just talking, and he doesn't even, it's like he's not even angry anymore. It's like he is angry, but he's not outwardly angry. Like, it's like an inside seething hate, and a disappointment. So
towards the police and for the shit that they put him through.
Yeah. And when you think about it, like, not even when you think about it, it's a fact that he was, like, the oldest serving, he was the longest serving prisoner in the state at that time. Now, William died on March 5th, 2012. Like, it's really not that long ago. He was aged 83. He died in prison from complications with his diabetes. He died pretty much alone, again without his family, because after he was convicted, his family changed their second name and moved away. Yep.
That is so sad.
Yeah. His parents didn't send any letters or visit him in prison, but I think his brother might have maybe sometimes visited him and his nieces or nephews. I'm just recalling an interview that I watched on YouTube with him, but I can't really remember. But yeah, and if you dig into this case and you're not quite as outraged as I am, then reach out because I would love to do some back and forth
with
you.
A little debate.
Yeah.
A friendly debate.
Yeah, of course, Jesus. But yeah, like this case, I've been trying to write it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I just could not sit down and like get my thoughts on paper.
I just find it so sad because I just feel like the shit that was done to him, like the ramifications that that Spinal Tap could have had.
Yeah. He could have been left disabled for life.
Literally. And for what? Just any sort of confession. Didn't matter who it came from.
Yeah. And I don't know what ether does to your skin. I think it's pretty much just like pure alcohol. But having that poured on your genitals.
Sting like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Do you know what I reckon? Because he had a Hane threshold. A high pain threshold. That they were, you know, hitting him and whatever else. But it wasn't really doing a whole pile. So they got thick.
Yeah. Something else about his extreme high pain threshold. This is a psychiatric study of William Herons that was done by Foster Kennedy, Harry Orr Hoffman, and William H. Haynes, done in 1948. So they basically went over his sexual perversions, his emotions, this is where I found out when he was born, that kind of thing. During the physical examination, I'm just going to read it out to you very quickly. So, quote, the patient was carefully examined physically. He is a well-built young man weighing 159 pounds. There are no deformities except a scar on right forearm, the result of a compound fracture when aged about 10. No evidence was found of any structural abnormality in the central, autonomic, or peripheral nervous systems. The hands were moist and overcold and without tremor. There is a remarkable reduction to the perception of pinpricks, however strong, as, quote, pain. This was present all over the body with the exception of the glans penis. Sharp pinpricks inside the nose on the mucous membrane and the soles of the feet was denied as being painful and no motion of withdrawal was made there or elsewhere. This was also true as regards the mucous membrane of the lip and the scrotum and body of the penis. A sharp needle could be pressed more than 4 millimeters under the nails without inducing pain or defense withdrawal movements. So,
Jesus.
They put nails under his nails. They stuck pins in his penis, like literally all over his penis, like the glands is the tip, isn't it? And then the body and scrotum. Mm. Can you, was there any need for that? There's no need for that type of physical examination. There's not.
No. They just used him there as a science rat.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That is literally it.
Cheers. Jesus.
Yeah. And I remember in episode one, you were like, I know he's the piece of shit killer. And I was like, oh, you ain't gonna, you don't know yet.
Look, he did shit. He wasn't innocent. He was a weirdo. Honestly, just feel like there wasn't the evidence there to say that he committed these murders.
Me neither. And like, it could be argued that maybe he did kill Josephine and he did kill Francis. But I cannot find a valid reason for him to have killed Suzanne Degnan.
I cannot link him to that one. He would not have had the knowledge. He would not have had the knowledge to do to Suzanne what was done to her.
Absolutely not. And how would he have done that all by himself? To like and not be caught walking the streets with random body parts?
Yeah, no, I cannot link him to that one. And I feel like no matter what he did or didn't do, what the police did to him is horrific, and he should not have had to go through that. Killer or no killer, like, it's not up to me and it's not up to the police to decide on how somebody is punished.
Yeah, you're playing God. You're literally playing God there.
Yeah, especially giving him the spinal tap. Like, they could have disabled him if that went wrong. Yeah. And it would have been on them because they ordered it.
For sure. Absolutely.
Next episode is going to be depressing as fuck. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, I guess.
Thank you for listening to our angry rants. And we could be angry, we could be well rants. Wrong. We could be so out of the ballpark. But I don't think we are.
I don't think so. But we could be. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. So, yeah, really hope you liked it. If you did, check out some of our other episodes if you haven't done so. And yeah, that's pretty much it. If you would love to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, that would be absolutely amazing and greatly appreciated.
It'd be the fucking tits. Oh my God, it would be so hot. You should do it. It's so sexy.
So hot. We also have a website, www.giveusmorg.com, where you can be updated on the latest episodes, and there's like, you know, little snippets of reviews that people have left for us and stuff like that, and a little bit about us. And you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter. Both are at GiveUsMorg. And if you'd love to see who you are listening to, you can check out our own personal Instagrams, which is at MegPowell_ and at Mrs_.
I'm gonna go eat some fettuccine and live my best Saturday life.
I'm gonna go down a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Oh God, hell yeah. Deserved. Deserved. Alright, peace out.